Welcome to Salam Nerds Podcast. We do recaps, reviews, and breakdowns of your favorite TV shows and movies.
Yo, 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 it's the Salam Nerds. My name is Dean, a.k.a. Watson Geek. I'm here, my boy, Chad.
We are an inclusive podcast that focuses on the voices that are ignored. We are all nerds here. Thank you to all our supporters. Like, comment, share, subscribe, and give us a good review.
Yo, 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 Salam Nerds. It's your boy Neebs, a.k.a. Watch With Neebs, and I'm here with my co-host Jazz, a.k.a. DJ Creep.
The intro song.
That was so good. Listen, there's a lot of stuff to get down with this show, so we got a lot to talk about. But before we do, I want to introduce you guys to my homie, the official Megs, Adam.
Nice.
I have no idea what just happened. Oh my God, that is crazy. I mean, also, if you want, I do tricks.
I could talk like this for the entire podcast if you want.
What?
Or I could sit here like God of War, whatever you want. If I'm like Kratos.
That's so cool.
Or one of my favorite while I'm playing Warzone is I'll do, where is it? It's this one.
Oh,
nice.
And like Prox chat, that's all they can hear.
Did you do the Halo voice but with Little Mermaid?
Wow. That is wild.
I need that specific one.
Listen, you need to train us on how to use these podcasts because, like, we're like novices compared to you.
You did your intro, and I saw it, and I went, God, this is so much better than ours.
Listen, the only reason our intro is good is that we have, like, permission to use music from, like, an actual, like, DJ. See, this is what you
Shout out to Jai Wolf. Please go listen and follow.
This is how you get authentic music on your podcast. You invite them on your show and you suck up to them really hard and then they let you do it.
I'll ask some people. I got a couple of people that do music. I can ask them for some stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's cool. But listen, speaking of music, man, Guardians of the Galaxy, you know they always have amazing music. And this episode starts off with Rocket listening to Creep. Creep is a song about a little bit about self-hatred, a little bit. And you can see, like, you know, Rocket's going through it, man. Rocket is going through it. Star-Lord is going through it. A lot of these people are definitely going through it. And as we saw from the Christmas special, Star-Lord is having a hard time with Gamora being gone. So that's what we get into. And we get to learn about Rocket. So the way I want to do it is I want to focus on Rocket first. Then we'll focus on the other characters. Then we'll focus on the stories. And then we'll focus on some of the fun Easter eggs. Now, Rocket is probably the most complicated character in the movie. And according to James Gunn, he has been the secret protagonist all along, which I think is really, really cool. Adam, what are your thoughts about that?
It's funny, right? Because I've said this for a while now that he has always been like the main person. And nobody noticed. It's like a bed of pretty flowers, and they put a really nice tree there, and it starts to go, and then look, it starts to bloom, and now volume three is here's this ginormous redwood, and just like she says, it was always your story. And I love that James does this thing. Yeah, when Lila says it, I love that James has this thing that he always does of misdirecting. Where you think one thing's happening or you think something else is going on when really it's like the fifth thing. It's like when you watch any kind of like network television cop show, it's always somebody you've met in the beginning, but you never know which one.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get that. And it's really interesting to me because one of the only people that really understood Rocket was actually Yondu. In episode two, in volume two, where he goes like, I know what they did to you because, like, you're me. And he really understood Rocket. And I thought that was really telling and why he acts the way he acts, because he has always been like so mean and so angry. And like when you watch Volume 2, you're like, why is he like this? And then you kind of understand after watching this why he's like the way he is. And I think a lot of it really happens in Infinity War, between Infinity War and Endgame, because we see that him and Nebula probably get like really, really attached. And you see like people are always calling him a raccoon, a rabbit, like all these other things, right? And then even like Tony Stark calls him a Build-A-Bear, and he goes, yeah, you know what? Maybe I am, because he never really knew what he was.
I mean, funny, the Build-A-Bear was so accurate, right? Kind of.
Yeah.
This is actually very accurate.
In a way, he is a Build-A-Bear.
It's so unfortunate how accurate.
Where's the heart that I have to hit? What sound comes out?
Oh, man. That's rough, man. There's a lot of self-hatred.
It's funny because I always, I was talking to Jay Phrygian and them about some other stuff where I knew Rocket wasn't, are we doing spoilers, by the way?
Yes, we are doing spoilers.
Okay, so I knew Rocket wasn't going to die. And I knew it only because, like, every time one of the movies went to do something, they pushed real hard into something. And it never happened. But it was always somebody close to them. So, like, it was, you know, oh, Drax is going to die. No, Groot died. That's when I started to kind of go, ah, Rocket's best friend died. Wow, that's crazy. And then you looked at the connection him and Yondu had, and right in front of you, it's really Yondu and Peter, the father-son dynamic, and he dies. No, Rocket's realization dies of who he is and the person telling him that. And I was like, this is about Rocket. He's making this about Rocket. This is 100% Rocket, and Rocket's going to take over the Guardians. And that's what's going to, and then like somebody near him is going to die. Now nobody died, but it was his story. I mean, technically someone did die, his entire family basically, but
I mean that entire counter earth.
That's true.
Billions of lives there.
Yeah.
No, but I know what you mean, because this movie, regardless of people dying or not, they didn't have plot armor, because you knew a lot of the actors were not going to return. You knew that James Gunn wasn't going to direct another one, and you knew a lot of these characters were going to be retired. So even though you didn't have anyone die, there was a moment in the movie where I thought any one of these people can die, because a lot of them were not supposed to come back. And I like that element. It's like, I know Drax is never going to do it again. He's done. You know, Bradley Cooper is done. I don't know who else, but like a lot of these characters were just done, right? The only person that...
Zoe Saldana's also done.
Yeah.
I think Zoe's done in general with a lot of this. I mean, look, she still has the other two Avatar movies. She just got done doing all this, which, let's be honest, she'll come back for Secret War probably.
Sure.
But that'll be it. And at that point, it's like, maybe we have a Ravager movie we don't know about, but like,
I think that's too much content.
I don't see, because now what do you do, right? The argument was we had too much content now. Well, what are we going to do? 6 different Guardian spinoffs?
Yeah. The only Guardian movie that I could see having a spinoff is going to be a Nova movie, because you know Nova's going to come. Nova's too big of a character not to use. So I could see them bringing some of these characters back for a Nova movie, maybe mix them up with the Captain Marvel in the future for like a third Captain Marvel movie, because they're also in the cosmic space realm. But outside of that, no, I don't see too many spinoffs for this. I think that's it. I think that's where we're going. And back to... Rocket, you know, we kind of go into his path, and we talked about that a little bit, and I wanted to talk about like how heart-wrenching that backstory was when we got to meet like Floor, Teef, and Lila. I was like, what's going on here? And you see like baby Rocket and how he's understanding something, and you're like, you understand why he has so much self-hatred, because he blames himself for a lot of these things, but you also know like why he's so angry all the time at other people. Really, really great storytelling. And bro, I was so happy.
I was crying so much in like the baby Rocket scenes. Like it did, they like, even, I know it's CGI probably, when they had like the little raccoon families in that cage, you could see the fear in his eyes.
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh damn, this is serious. And then when they put him in the cage with the Floor, right? The bunny. Yeah. And he first had a surgery. His head was shaved off.
Yeah.
It was like, it hurts. Like, I broke down, man. I was like, nope. don't you dare do this to me. I will kill whoever hurts Rocket ever again. Like, I was angry and crying in the theaters, man. It was weird.
They said this movie is really hard for animal lovers, and I can see why.
I have two dogs. If anybody touches my dogs...
Same. Oh. I had two Yorkies, so it's, like, similar-ish.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man. Let's go to the comments real quick.
What is it? I also think the dichotomy between the innocence and the relentless kindness of younger Rocket to a more sarcastic, pessimistic adult Rocket is really beautifully tragic. Yeah, I agree. It is very tragic.
Well, you see that change, too.
Mm-hmm.
Instantly, when he's in the cockpit, you see him go from, I believe things, I know things can happen, to everyone's against me, everyone lies to me, everything it's taken from me. And you see it because his ears go straight back like he is now. Brow comes down. He does that. It's almost like an instant change.
Yeah, but something was special about Rocket, because Rocket was smarter than all of the other animals, and he was able to figure out something the High Evolutionary wasn't even able to figure out, right? So something about Rocket was very special, and we see that when he brings a Ninja Turtle out and tries to make him, like... Yo, also, like, is it me, or were there a lot of Ninja Turtle references? Because there was, like, a pig who reminded me of Bebop, a snapping turtle that reminded me of, like, Rocksteady, and then, like, freaking a Ninja Turtle in the middle of the thing. Like, was that just me, or did anybody else see that?
No, so when definitely... you... Good.
Yeah. I was going to say, it was just definitely in there. It was way too on the nose to not think Ninja Turtles. Like, if you've seen the Ninja Turtles, you're like, I get it.
Nice. Like, when I saw War Pig in them, it was like, what in the Bebop Rocksteady is going on right now? It was like a mixture of Bebop Rocksteady and Krang. Like, all to one.
Yeah.
It was too on the nose. Like, we know what they were doing. Like, there's no way they didn't know.
My favorite part about the Rocket backstory is that Peter kept saying that, like, it's not a trap when you know it's a trap. It's a face off. And then like, Rocket literally rips his face off. Like, that was so good.
It's kind of funny.
It's a literal face off.
I was dying. I was like, oh, yeah, face off. Like, it's just so good, man.
I mean, Quill called it. He called him Skeletor.
Yeah, he looked like Skeletor, man. That was crazy.
Yo,
I think it's some... Go ahead.
I was going to say,
I think that was the goriest thing that Marvel's put out.
It was. It was very gory. I feel like even kids will have a hard time with that.
Yeah, they finally did the animal cruelty thing today. They put out and said, hey, there's some animal stuff, animal, you know, things in this movie, just letting you know. They finally put a warning out for it because it came out.
It's funny how, like, people dying, like, ah, oh, no big deal. Animal dying, whoa, we got to put out a freaking...
Peter's going to call all of us now, like, here we go.
Even though they're CGI, like, no, we can't take it, we can't take it, no.
The only people we hurt in this were the VFX people because we didn't pay them crap.
Oh!
In solidarity, we stand with the writer's strike, and if only the VFX artists were unionized... Because they really should be, because they need to go on strike as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got a friend who worked on Wakanda and has worked on some other projects, and it tight windows.
Tight windows, man. Yeah, oh, like, no.
No joke. They're working 14, 18 hours a day on these projects, like, usually for a month straight. It's brutal, man. Like, the VFX industry needs to unionize very quickly.
And people are like, oh, Saturdays and Sundays? No, they work Saturdays and Sundays, too. Like, it is nonstop. When Jazz said, like, 2 months... 2 months solid.
That's crazy. That's why I'm glad the Marvels got pushed back. They could use more of that time.
It looks great.
Yeah, because now it looks really, really good. The other thing I want to talk about, so Rocket had this thing where, like I talked about earlier, where everybody kept calling him different rodent, this and that, and he took really offense to that. And then Lila called him a raccoon, and he's like, I'm not a raccoon. And then you finally see he learns where he came from, and turns out, he's from Earth. He actually is a raccoon. And then when he gets at the end, he goes, my name is Rocket Raccoon. Dude, chills. To me, that's like up there with I Am. That's like up there with I Am Iron Man.
Yeah.
That's so good. Mm-hmm. It was so freaking good. I loved it. His arc was fantastic. Amazing. And then he gets to become the leader of the new Guardians. And, like, you know, it's funny because he was always fighting with Quill. He's like, hey, this is my ship. Or, like, I'm the pilot. Or, like, I am the leader, right? And, like, Quill, though, is like, it's him. But turns out now it's actually Rocket the whole time.
It's been Rocket the whole time. Even Quill admitted at the end, like, he was like, you will make a better captain than I ever did. Like,
yeah.
Everyone knew.
Yeah. Even in, even in the comic, it's a running joke because Quill is the captain, but Rocket worked on the ship so much that he changes all the parts. So the ship's more Rocket than his Peter's because Rocket did so much work on the ship. It's basically not even the same ship. It's not even the Milano anymore in the comic. And this is not the Milano. It's the Bowie, which I think is really I love how they like name one of the after Milano. The other one's Benatar, and the other one is Bowie, which I think it's really funny. But this was a huge ship. I liked it. Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's talk about some of the other characters, because a lot of the characters got some good arcs in this, right? We got Swole Groot. Groot got Swole.
Ultimate Groot.
Oh, yep. We got Alpha Group, Ultimate Group. We got to see different versions of him. Maybe even King Groot, because it looked like he had a crown at the end. That was dope. It was really, really cool to see. And you can really see the difference between this Groot and the other Groot. Like, when he grows up, you thought he would look just like the original Groot, but he doesn't. He looks very different. Mm-hmm. So you know that's not the same one. The other person who I think had maybe even a better arc than Rocket may actually be Nebula. Like, Nebula had such an amazing arc,
man.
Thank
God you didn't say Drax. I was going to kill you.
No.
Like, yeah. Drax's little
best arc, Cosmo. Okay, let's get it right.
Cosmo, facts.
he went from a bad dog to a good dog. You can't get a better arc than that.
Why not?
I knew you knew I was a good dog.
That's so funny.
No, I agree. Nebula. So I agree, though. Nebula's story, because I watched all three back to back. I did the marathon. Back to back. So, like, yes. I got to relive 1, 2, 3 and connectively keep that same energy all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch Nebula go from, yes, father, no, whatever I need to do, I want to kill Thanos because he did this to me. And now in the second one, well, Thanos is still there, but now I want to kill Gamora because she didn't love me. And now in this one, she finally found the family to love and she lost it,
right?
And she's just trying to get it back, and she's upset because she's upset she let it be lost.
Yeah, and you have to understand that in between Infinity War and Endgame, she spent 5 years with Rocket. That's more years than anyone else on the team have spent together. So, like, they probably know each other the most. And when she gets that upgrade, it's assumed that Rocket gave her that upgrade. Rocket probably learned from Tony Stark and gave her the nanotech. Because she did say, Rocket gave me some improvements. And you get to learn that because some of her things are very Tony Stark-like. And you know Rocket is probably one of the smartest people in the world. So I could see him definitely in the universe. Galaxy. Yeah. And then you also see, like, Nebula have this, like, kind of love for Peter. Right. And like in the beginning, I feel like it's more of like a brother kind of love because she's like, yo, this is somebody my sister really cared about. Right. So she cared about him, too, and took care of him. But then at the end, when Peter's like, I never noticed how black your eyes were. She's like, stop it. Don't look at me like that. So she's still the same Nebula. But even though Gamora or Alt Gamora says that lady sounds more like her, which I think it goes to show how great her arc was.
No, I agree. I fully agree. I think she had one of the better arcs in there, minus Rocket. His was a surprise. It wasn't a surprise, but his was nice because of, like I said, it blossomed into this thing. Hers was just drastic from murderous human being to amazing, trying to save everybody, which is funny because Gamora ended up at the end being the one that just wanted to kill everybody.
Yeah.
She literally had Nebula's storyline, but in Volume 3.
Yeah,
all in Volume 3.
She wanted to kill everybody.
And her arm reminds me of the Destroyer, by the way.
Oh, the Destroyer? Yeah.
From Thor? Sure. It kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah.
I see that. I was also thinking it could have been more of a little homage to, what's his name? Sebastian's character.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier, yeah.
Yeah.
So didn't he get her? Or she got him the arm?
The arm, yeah.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
He might have turned it into something after he got it for her.
Right, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
it's the same color toning.
Yeah, yeah, I do agree. No, that's really, really cool. The other thing I wanted to say,
let's go to the comments real quick, man.
Sure, let's go to the comments.
Because I know we haven't been touching the comments as much. CHM was saying, the most intense scene for me was the scene when Rocco was wailing in agony for his friends and the high evolutionary just mocked him.
Oh, yes. My God, yeah.
Bro, I felt so much anger in that scene. Like, big shout out. God, I cannot pronounce the name. I should look it up always.
He's a guy from Peacemaker.
I always love bringing this up because I think it's funny. Did you see someone tweet saying, the guy who played High Evolutionary really should go to DC and do something? He's really good. And I was like,
oh, man. People out there just tweet the funniest things.
Oh, no. He's a big creator.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Like,
it was funny. I've talked to him about it. I think it's hysterical. Terrell, Theories by T, called him. He literally did like a face and goes, who's going to tell him?
Yeah, like straight up. It was Chikwudu Iwuji. Like, he was just phenomenal. As
he's
high
so great.
Like, if I hate a villain in a movie, well done. Because that means you are doing a phenomenal job acting right here.
I don't think I hate any villain as much as I hate him. I think he's the worst villain.
He was worse than Thanos for me.
I think he's worse than Thanos.
He was worse than most every other MCU villain for me, like, quite frankly.
Because he created these creatures, or he found these creatures and created them, and then he just destroys them on a whim. He doesn't love his creation. Like, that's the worst type of God. Like, that's just horrible.
He doesn't just create them. When Nebula was, held that dodecahedron thing and was playing back the memories, she flat out said, this is worse than what my dad did to me.
Right.
Like, Rocket had to go through literal torture to be what he is.
Yeah. Over and over again.
Yeah, over and over again. And then after all of that, the High Evolutionary was just ready to destroy him. Like, this is like, oh, I want to study your brain. Like, fuck you, man. Like, I was angry in the movie.
And I think the big thing in this story is that, you see people save humans all the time, but like, lower life forms are also important, and people don't really talk about that in the movies. So I definitely agree. That was a great scene. And then you can see his reaction. Like, Rocket went through trauma, and he's never been the same Rocket since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else we got in the comments?
Oh, this one. I think in a way Nebula feels love the most intensely along with Rocket, which is why I think they show the sense of disdain, because the acceptance of love is the acceptance of uncertainty 100%.
Yeah. Also, I feel like a lot of the time she keeps it, close to her chest because she deep down feels like she doesn't deserve it. And, those kind of people, they always, take it to heart. But you know how strongly she felt, because when they found out Rocket was alive, she's the one that broke down crying. Like, Nebula.
She saw tears in her eye, yeah.
She doesn't even have real eyes, and she got tears, right?
Neves, I got a good question for you.
Sure.
Who's the bigger villain? Who do you hate more as a villain? High Evolutionary or Jackie from Love is Blind?
High Evolutionary, hands down. Not even a question, my guy. Not even a question.
Listen. The High Evolutionary would have given him back the ring, okay? No, just kidding.
Facts.
Oh, man.
I hate all of you.
The wife watches it, and I know Neebs watched it.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh, man.
I lost where we were, man. What were we talking about right before this?
I don't know, but let's go back to the character. So there's Cosmo, which is the new character, which is based off like the dog that actually went to Russia. That's like a real dog.
That's a real whole thing.
From Russia that went to space, my guy. The dog didn't go to Russia.
Well, then technically afterwards he did. He went back to Russia.
I mean, kinda.
kinda. All right. Also, the security guard that Gamora was like beating up, and then Quill is like, "No, I could have seduced her," and then at the end he did. I was like, "Yes, he's got that riz."
He was like, yeah, I just need to get in. I don't know what I was going to do with it after that. I was like, damn, yeah. Bro.
Gamora was a little impressed. I'm not going to lie. She was a little impressed. That was some.
She had a little grin. Yeah. Sly grin. Like.
But you know that actress is Ratcatcher from Suicide yeah. Squad.
Yeah. She did a good job too in that, like, what, 2 minute cameo she had?
Yeah. I thought that was really good. Ratcatcher was really good. Who else was there?
Quill, obviously.
Right. The one character that I do feel like people are going to complain about is going to be Adam Warlock. And yes. People are going to complain that they nerfed Adam Warlock. And to that,
that's
I'm saying.
Exactly the word I used.
And here's the thing, it's not Adam Warlock's story. Right, yeah. We needed to focus on other people, and yes, Adam Warlock is a big deal. Adam Warlock is super powerful. He technically has a Soul Stone, which I think they replaced with something else. I think we'll get to see Adam Warlock again. I do not mind that they minimize his role in this movie because it let us stay with the other characters longer, and we're not going to see those guys for a while. So I did not mind that. I think it was the right thing to do. What are your thoughts about Adam Warlock?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go for it, Jess.
So when I first saw the movie this morning, I absolutely hated the fact of how much they nerfed him, right? Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the movie, when they're like, oh, he was, or was it the beginning, like they said he was removed from his cocoon early?
Yeah.
I started thinking about that. I'm like, wait a second. This is baby Adam Warlock.
Basically,
in
an
adult body. You know what? If that's the case, fine. This can work for now. As long as I get a good Adam Warlock movie later, you know what? So be it.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like if there's a Nova movie or there's something else, we can get him. Maybe he'll be a big part of Secret Wars. Who knows? Adam, what are your thoughts?
On myself, I think I'm amazing. he was a convenience character. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? It helped mm-hmm. them get out of situations easier. It's like, how do we get Nebula to stop doing this? We'll have Adam come through. How do we do this? We'll have Adam do this. You know, it was just an easy write. And I know it's not an easy write. I'm not saying what they did was sloppy or just haphazard. It's just easier. Mm-hmm. And you can move on to the next thing without having to, like, give more story into it.
That's fair.
Fair. And then we also see, like, the High Evolutionary. He built this counter-Earth, and it's filled with animals who are kind of like evolved to be like humans, but they turned out to be just as assholes as we are. Like,
yeah, right?
They're doing drugs.
Society, yeah. Right? The same like suburban neighborhoods with like the multifamily houses. Everyone's mowing their lawn. It's just so mundane. The cookie cutter homes.
And they picked the 1980s, which is ironic because that's where Quill remembers. So they picked like 1980s Earth.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay because we're in the same age bracketing somewhat, right?
Yeah.
And I heard the people behind me, when the photos were on, they went, oh, look at those 90s photos. And I was like, 90s photos? The laser background and all that stuff? That is 80s. What is wrong with you?
Straight up.
Oh, my God. I have the laser background picture, man.
You got it done last year at a Walmart. Stop it. You have a shirt and an 8x10 at all times with you.
Yes,
know it too well.
Oh, man. Now I lost my train of thought after that.
Neve's literally at everything. He'll pull it out at any convention. Do you want me to sign this for you? And they'll look and be like, why?
Yeah, right, why?
Aren't you Ted Lasso?
Lasers. Oh, man. All right, so that happens, and we kind of get to see the Evolutionary just be like, well, listen, this universe is not doing so hot. Maybe I need to just blow this one up, too. And it's just like, really? That's it? Like, you have all these creations, and you just, like, blow them up? So, like, in fact, he does think of himself as a god. He creates the perfect universe. It's what he's trying to do. And in his mind, he's trying to create a universe without ignorance, without bigotry, and without violence, where you're kind of like, okay, I see that. And then when, like, you see him, like, just kill people because he doesn't have that society, just like that, that's crazy.
I could swallow the Thanos pill a little bit easier. That one was, better idea, but the way you're going about it, I can't get behind. I'm down with you, High Evolutionary, but like, we can do something else. And I thought it was interesting that his ship was the key to the core of the planet.
Yeah.
And when he pulls it out, the whole thing erupts. What I didn't like, and the more we talk about it, the more I'm thinking,
when he pulls it out, the whole thing erupts.
I mean, I've got that sound effect if you really want me to hit it. But not that one. Where you could go to maybe see planets erupt. What does it say? What treatment was he getting? That was never explained. He was getting his treatment, but what was the treatment?
Maybe with a facial? Because his skin was not doing too hot. No, his skin was not doing too well.
Sure.
That's what you were going with. Okay.
No, because you see it peel off a little bit, and then they pull it off completely.
No, Rocket pulled it off completely.
Yeah, Rocket. Oof, man, it's definitely a Skeletor.
No, he was clearly like cancer ridden, right? Like with the way he was sick, with the way he was crawling, begging for like essentially Rocket's help. I think it had to be some type of genetic disease, like, you know, a cancer or, you know, a blood disease or bone marrow, something like. He definitely had issues where he could have died if it wasn't for Rocket. And I think Rocket saving him was like, you know, I'm a god. Who the hell are you? And how did you save me? Like,
yeah,
I mean, put in that quote, right?
Yeah, right. Like, that's really what got under his skin. Like,
God's not here. It's why I stepped in.
Yeah. And even you are just mortal. You're not even a god yourself, buddy.
And then that poor idiot pulled a gun on him.
Weak.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, definitely got. Also, let's see. What was the other thing? We did see the new humans that he was creating. And one of those humans was Phila Val, I believe. Mm-hmm. So she's supposed to
be. Which is one of the originals.
Right. One of the originals. Adam, you got any comments about that?
Yeah, I'm excited that because when the Guardians originally came out, obviously everyone went, who? And now that they're actually putting some of the original characters in there with some of the newer characters or characters we don't know of and things like that, I'm enjoying that. Especially with Adam being a part of it as well. I am interested to see what they're going to do with it. But I am happy they brought her in.
Yeah. Right. I think they have to. I think they have to rotate the cast, everyone, because like all the contracts are ending, right?
Yeah.
And all these movie actors, they're done with Marvel, right? Like, you know, obviously Robert Downey Jr., you know, ScarJo, like all of them, they're just done, right?
I don't know if he is. I think Marvel's done with him because it's minimum $8 million just for him to say hi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but like, you know, it is what it is, right? So they're gonna have to rotate in other characters. And now I think in the past they were just going to bring in people, you know, actors and characters that resonated with the general audience. Now they're going to give a lot more fan service to like the nerds like us who have been fans of the comic books for decades.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No,
it's a great
I agree.
Time to be a nerd. It's a great time to be a nerd right now.
The other nerdy thing I really liked was that when Quill finally meets his grandfather, we learned that his grandfather's name is Jason Quill, which in the comics, you know, Peter's father's name is Jason. So it's really interesting where they got that little nod, and I thought that was really cool. And I also really liked the fact that they finally answered that question, because it did bother me. Like, dude, Peter, you had a grandpa, bro. Like, why didn't you ever go back? And then you know that, like, his memory is fuzzy and he remembers it very differently. He doesn't remember his grandfather shoving him out the room so he doesn't have to see his mom die. He just remembers him shoving him and pushing him off. And then he went and, you know, cried, and then he got abducted. I thought it was really good send-off and a good way to just, you know, close that loop. What do you think about that? Jazz, do you want to go
first? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Prettier one first, so it's you.
Debatable. But okay. When Peter showed up to the door and he was like, oh, I'm looking for my grandpa, or I'm looking for Jason Quill, right? And they take him to the back where he's sitting on the porch, right? I thought it was so cute how he just looked up and he was like, Pete? Like, without a moment of hesitation, he knew who his grandson was. And I was
Hasn't
like,
seen him
in
34 years.
More waterworks. Like, just more waterworks at that moment.
But that's honestly, I feel like grandparents could just do that. I don't know what it is. Because they can see their kids' face in their kids. Yeah. Like, in their grandkids, I mean, right? Like, I see my niece when she was born. My parents were like, we can see our child in her face. Grandparents just know. I don't know how. They just do. So, yeah.
It hit me because, like, all my grandparents have passed away, right? So when I saw that, I'm like, oh.
Yeah. All right. So you guys did not like Drax's arc? So I
did. No, I thought it was great.
Okay, good. Cause, like, I
was going to say, if that was the one you thought did a really phenomenal job, I was going to be pissed.
Okay,
but no. Drax's arc as him going from warrior to father.
Yeah.
That was great. Like, I enjoyed that quite a bit, actually.
Almost very similar to Nebulous.
Yeah, because you see, like, he's always Drax the Destroyer, and you think that his only good thing to do that he blow things up or destroy things, right? And, like, obviously they call him, like, an idiot. And, like, I think that's something that, like, Dave Bautista didn't really like about the character, because in the comics he's not that much of an idiot. He just, like, doesn't understand analogies and metaphors and stuff like that. But this was a really good way to see, like, he has other strengths than just being a destroyer. He's a father. Because out of all of them, he's the only one that's ever raised a child. And then when all these kids are there, like, Gamora and Nebula were little girls when they were tortured and brainwashed by Thanos. They don't know what it's like to be a kid, but, you know, Drax knows what it's like to raise a kid. And we've seen that in the comics, we've seen that in the video games, we see that in the cartoons. They always show that in Drax, and I'm really glad that he got this storyline. And then, you know, he always said, like, dancing is for idiots, and then you see him dancing with the kids and stuff like that. Very happy with his storyline. And you could see him and Mantis' relationship. He thinks Mantis is weak and can't protect himself. She thinks he's kind of dumb and can't protect himself. But they both need to go their separate ways to kind of learn their own strengths. And I was happy with that. I really, really liked that. Also, I love the fact that he keeps eating the Zarg nuts, which is from, like...
I lost it.
It's so funny.
What if I wanted a Zarg nut? Oh, too bad. They're all gone.
All gone.
And then, like, yoink. And that's a callback to when he was talking in Volume 2 that you can't see him because he moves so slowly. Yeah. And it's like he's invisible to the naked eye. He was eating a Zarg nut when he was doing that.
So. And also they were saying about the Zarg nuts, I believe in Volume 1 or Volume 2, same thing. And they were like, where'd all the Zarg nuts? Oh, he ate them all. Also, if you noticed, when they were with one of the, oh my God, right after they left the chemical place with the orb that helped Rocket.
Yeah.
And they were interrogating the person they found, and Adam Warlock, like, blew him to smithereens, you know?
Yeah.
The girl was eating the little radish thing.
Yeah.
The radish thing that wasn't ripe from Volume 2.
Volume 2, you're right, you're
and
right.
And she's like, oh, I'm hungry. Nebby's like, I'm hungry. And she's like, it's not ripe yet. And it was ripe, and the girl was eating it.
Oh, that's so funny. I love these little Easter eggs. That's so good.
I didn't even notice that what that was. I was like, oh, it's some snack from the cafeteria. That's funny. Wow, it's an Easter egg. Cool.
The other thing that I found really funny was when they were all wearing those Among Us suits, and then they, and then the comms were, like, color-coded, but incorrectly.
Also, can we talk about how like, Mantis's thing was always falling flat on her face?
Yes.
That girl stayed breaking her neck that entire movie.
Oh my gosh.
When she fell into that pit, right? Right before, I was like, oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
And then, like, no, she just gets up. I'm like, what happened? Like, what?
Yo, yeah, Mantis had some really, really. She did a lot of falling on her face in the Christmas special, too, I think. Mm-hmm. Which is really, really funny.
But that one, like, it looked like she landed on her neck, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm surprised she's alive.
Yeah.
You know the body that Nebula carries in the beginning when he's drunk, when Quill's drunk?
Yeah.
It is a fake body, but it looks just like him.
Oh, wow.
So BD from comicbook.com interviewed them.
Yeah.
Was talking to them about the body and stuff. James goes, yeah, I had it in my office for like a month. And I when people came in, I let them do whatever. And Chris looks over and goes, what did you let them do to my body? He goes, wait, what? He goes, what did they do in me? And he goes, wait, what? I just let them come in. And he was like, what did you let them do in me? Oh, my God. It was hysterical. James finally got it and starts dying. He goes, yeah. Anyone that came in, I let him have a shot.
Oh, my God.
I'm dead.
That's so good. BD's awesome. I love that guy.
Love BD.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's so
But
funny.
Even Mantis, like, I think she had one of the bigger arcs as well because she was a nobody who knew nothing other than, Ego. And now is like a new puppy. Like, what's this world? What do I learn? Right. What's going on? Yeah. But she knew nothing other than that group. And now she's doing the, I got to find out who I am. So exactly. I think we get a Mantis show. Yeah.
I really, really like that. Also, ironically, I think it's really, really funny that, like, you know, not only is this not, like, yes, it's a Marvel movie, but it's, like, one of the darker Marvel movies, but it also had Marvel's first F-bomb. Like, that so took funny, me out.
It had its first two F-bombs.
Two? Wait, what's the other one?
When the Beastie Boy song starts, the very first word he says is
No way. Because a PG-13 movie cannot have two F-bombs.
The song has it.
No way.
Very first thing. It's very quick, but it...
Shout out to the editors for making that happen.
And Chris talked about that as well. He was like, it wasn't scripted. It's always been a thing. Everybody in the MCU has been trying to get an F-bomb in there. But it's always been if you get it in there, understand you're not coming back.
Yeah.
And he was like... They let me do it. He was like, it was unscripted. I just said, open the door. I don't know if I can swear or not on here. So I was like, whatever.
Yeah, you can
swear. Oh, okay. Yeah, he was like, open the fucking door. And it was just him literally, like, ad-libbed, said that to her, and they allowed it.
That's so funny. But, like, I've been in that situation. Where, like, I don't know if new cars do that anymore because I haven't been in that situation forever, but I remember time. You're like, you pull at the same time. You're like, nope.
Yeah, you're trying to get it or, like, you got to shimmy it a certain way and get it up. Like, yeah.
You got to press the button and then pull it. Like, it's so, like, and now, like, you just walk near a car, the door's open.
Yeah, the handle pops out or the door flips open or does whatever the hell it does now. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So funny.
These old people.
Right.
He's freaking out. That's so funny.
Anybody who's still got a Chrysler.
Also, the Beastie Boys are having a good month, man. They were in the Mario movie. They were in this movie. They were in the, what you call it, Marvel's trailer.
Yeah, like, too bad none of them can celebrate it. You are all welcome.
Oh, man.
Because they're all...
That's so messed up. It's so funny.
Damn, that's messed up. Also, all right.
He's like, you asshole. Hey, I'm out. Like,
that got awkward.
Damn, real death? Shit. What do I do now? Scramble. Commercial. There's no commercials? Shit. What do I do?
I am Groot. I'm just going to say I am Groot for like the next 2 minutes.
When ye said, I love you all, wept like a small child, lip in mouth.
Yo, but like, did you hear the theory? The theory is he didn't say I love you all. Have you guys heard this theory yet?
No.
Yeah.
So the theory is Groot didn't say I love you. He said I am Groot. But just like Gamora, we spent so much time with Groot that we can now understand him.
Yeah, that's what I was getting from the whole thing.
So that was like so good because like people like Gamora was saying over and over again, how do you guys understand him? All you think is three words over and over again. Everyone says that, and then after a while, everyone just kind of knows what he's saying, right? And we as the audience also just knew what he was saying at the very end, which I love that theory. I think that's phenomenal. I mean, I don't even think that's a theory. I'm pretty sure that's they did.
That's canon. Like, that's not a theory.
Yeah. But I'm lying. So good.
I just looked at the lyrics. It's not. It's foot on the... Never mind. Foot on the pedal. Damn. Really hoping it was two.
One F-bomb. All right.
I'm so hyped for two.
Can we talk about Dave Bautista, though? So, like, I watched him talking about... he was doing presser for Knock at the Cabin Door.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was great.
He didn't... Watch your mouth. I thought it was great. I thought it was fake. I heard hesitation in that. Did you really mean you liked it?
No, I actually quite enjoyed
it. Oh, okay. I just want to make sure. Or I was coming.
I enjoyed it. It was a good movie.
Okay.
It's actually an M. Night Shyamalan movie, actually.
There you go. It's M. Night, so...
Yeah.
Look, last podcast, in the episode right before this, I said there are a handful of movies by M. Night that are good. Knock on the Cabin Door is one of them.
Okay.
So he was talking about he didn't get that last day goodbye with everybody. He had to shoot his stuff, and when he was done, they still were filming other things, so he wasn't there for the last day, the cries, the hugs, the goodbyes, any of that. So he said when they start doing the press tours for like all this stuff, he said that's when he'll kind of like get emotional and like get that like thought of that feeling of like finished. He said, but it just he did it, and they literally he stopped filming that night. He flew out for the press tour for Knock at the Cabin.
Well, I hope they gave him like you know sofas at these press tours.
And it totally is to sleep on. Trust me, as a married husband, I'm just letting you know they are used for beds.
As an unmarried person, I will occasionally go sleep on a sofa. Like sometimes they're just a bit more comfortable at night. I guess.
Yo, I love taking naps on a sofa. Yo, sofa naps are so dope.
They're safer too.
Yeah.
Because if you nap in bed, it's not a nap.
No.
You're sleeping for at least 4 hours.
If you nap in bed, you basically time travel because you wake up and you don't know what day it is, what month, week, or year.
Where am I? What is going on? Whose room is this?
That was me last night. I was in bed at like, or sorry, I took a nap at 6 p.m. Think I'll wake up at 10 p.m. get some work done. I woke up at 7 a.m. the day after. I slept for 13 hours. I had no idea what was going on.
That's so funny.
Yep. You can't nap in a bed. You sleep in a bed. You nap on the couch.
You nap on the sofa. You nap on the sofa.
Unless you're in an argument, then you do sleep on the couch.
fair. Yeah, that's all you, buddy.
Yep.
Oh, man.
But he's married, so I mean, who's...
Valid.
He easily beats us there, man. Like,
fair.
Neebs, what do you think about Quill's story? Are you upset that this turned out not to be about him?
No, I don't mind it at all. I feel like I'm really happy that it didn't end up being about him. I feel like the other characters needed their place to shine. In fact, the thing is, honestly, I don't like because I've read the comics and I watched the cartoons. Like, I feel like Quill's story was mainly in two, and we saw it and we got it and we're happy with it and we're good, right? But there's a lot of things that like they change, like the element blasters, they don't really focus on any Spartek stuff, they don't really focus on. So like I don't see anything else they could have done, so I'm pretty happy with where they left off at his storyline. I don't think he needed more.
I know when he comes back, by the way.
Yeah, of course. I think actually was a Quill story though, almost. Like, yes, it's mainly about Rocket and his past and how he grew up, but Quill was in every scene doing whatever he could to save him. Like, he was the true number two character in this movie. And you can't just say, you know, this wasn't about Phil or Quill. It was. And so I think, like, even though he wasn't the main character, this was still technically a small portion of Quill's story.
I mean, he's still, like, the main guy, but it's kind of just, like, his arc was done, basically, right? Like, he had this thing about Gamora, and then he was like threw all that aside to focus on his best friend, who second best friend, I don't know. Like, I don't know what Drax is.
Best friend, second best friend.
Right? And I think that was like the main thing to get him going. And the side story of his was how he finally got over Gamora, right? Which I think like he did and he didn't. It's kind of like they left it open ended, I think, for you to decide.
That we were fun.
Yeah, that was nice. That was nice. Mm.
That was so, I mean, that, like, thinking about it and, like, some current event things with me and things like that kind of got to me a bit. And it was just like, oh, like, man, that really got me because I can imagine that of, it was almost like, God, it wasn't Dear John. Which Sparks movie was it? The Vow, where Rachel McAdams loses her memory of her husband and they end up splitting, and it's like, you know, you love this person and you know this person loved you, but they don't remember loving you.
Yeah.
And like, how do you live your life like that? Like, how do you go away from something you didn't lose?
Yeah. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a hard thing to have. And then like, she kind of gets it a little, you know, at the end. And
I kind of, like, what do you guys think? You think they were falling for each other at the end? You think if they had a little more time, they would get there?
I think Marvel would have done it, but I'm glad they didn't do it.
Correct.
Yeah.
They can do it at the Easter special, which is the next time we will see Quill.
Right. And you know what? That's fine. But, like, in the actual main canon of this, like, I think it's good to show loss like that and people moving on. We don't always see that, and it was really refreshing to see it in a movie like this.
Yeah.
That entire movie is about moving on, right? At the end.
Yeah, that is very true.
So good, like, and I'm very glad they did that.
Yeah, for sure. All right, cool, man. Anything else we missed before we wrap up?
Man, I'm trying to think. Like,
I'm upset they didn't do the holiday special when they showed me the three. because in that it starts, you know, in the third volume three, it starts with like, he's your brother. You figured out. And like, if you didn't watch that, whoa, what do you mean Mantis is her brother?
Yeah.
Her brother's sister. Like, that's a major thing.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. Palm and Sean are really nice people.
No, really?
Yes. Nice. I got to meet them. They were really nice.
Oh, speaking of Sean, like, Craglin, he got to learn how to do the arrow. The
whistle, oh, great moment.
Yeah, great moment. Love that.
Yeah, Jay Frigie and I were talking about, like, when you have a movie like this, right, where there's so many main characters, technically, to tell each story, like, you would have to have almost, like, two parts, three parts for that many people.
Yeah.
And James had, like, made three movies, and this last one ended every single arc,
yeah,
perfectly. Yep. And it didn't have to be 4.5 hours or five hours, under 3 hours. Here's the arc. Yeah, like, boom.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will say to that, I have had some friends complain that the movie was boring at parts, and I disagree. Honestly, I'm just like, I don't see what you're saying, man.
Ask them where.
Yeah, that's what I did. And they're like, oh, he's just so slow here. There's no action here. There's a lot of talking. And I'm like, I guess.
Feelings.
Yeah, like, I guess.
You let it marinate.
I don't know. But,
you know, people will complain about it. I'm not in that boat. I genuinely enjoyed this movie.
The only complaint I feel is valid is the Adam Warlock complaint. But even then, I feel like we should let that slide.
Yeah, we'll decide for now. Like, yeah, if he comes back later, it's all good.
Yeah, no, for
I
sure.
think it's best trilogy.
Yeah.
I agree.
Out of any movie.
Oh.
Not in the MCU. Like, I put this above OG Star Wars trilogy.
You put this above the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes, because I'm actually one of the psychopaths who sits here and on a hill I will die. That entire trilogy is just held together by one man who was in the movie for 35 minutes and spoke very little. And anybody could have played Batman. Christian Bale was just a voice.
You know what?
I don't know about that.
I'm going to have to rewatch it now with that in mind, and then I'll come back to you and see what.
Because think about it, right?
Yeah, like, I'm thinking about it.
You had Batman Begins, which was okay. It was a bit of a mess, because who's your villain? Scarecrow? Ra's al Ghul?
Yeah.
And Ra's al Ghul was there, but Ra's al Ghul was barely in it. And you had the background. You could have had Scarecrow be the villain. Him learn and him having nightmares about him being trained by Ra's, then you go into the second movie having the Joker, which was great. I love that movie. I don't have an argument with that movie. But then you had The Dark Knight Rises. Ra's al Ghul could have been your main villain. Yeah. And that's when he came back and brought Bane with him. You didn't need Talia.
Yeah, okay. I think Talia was just supposed to be poorly kept secret or twist, which I don't love. But I love those movies. I'm not going to play about
it. Trilogy for you then, man. Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy.
So here's what I'll tell you. I made a video earlier. There are three trilogies that I would play with. Okay. It's The Hobbit, The Lord of the Rings, and all three Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
There's only three Planet of the Apes. I thought there were more.
Well, earlier Planet of the Apes, but the actual, like, what is it? Dawn, Rise, and War.
What was the other one? I guess it's not a trilogy anymore, but for a while, my favorite trilogy was the Toy Story trilogy.
Yeah.
No. In my mind, it is still a trilogy.
Oh, yeah, that's still a trilogy.
We all agree
that's still a trilogy. Like, four was nice.
Right.
Five was even okay at points.
Wait, there's a five?
Yeah.
I don't even know, man. I didn't see the fifth one, I'll be honest.
I didn't even know there was a five.
Yeah, they're going to make a... Oh, no, yeah, four just came out. Four was the one at the toys at the amusement park where they slipped... They're making a fifth one, they said.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I better than... Because even if you look to, like, Back to the Future, right? Like, one and two, great. Three... Train wreck, no pun intended. Godfather 1, great. Yeah, it's corny, the third one, and it's fun to watch. But can you sit there and say these were all A- and A? No.
Okay, no, no.
And also I'm putting in there, name me another trilogy that absolutely from track one to track 172, you can listen to the entire soundtrack of all three and never skip a song.
Fair, yeah, fair. That's.
I mean, I'm still going to put Lord of the Rings above this one, but this is a very...
I grew up with Lord of the Rings, so like I'm with you. I've got them back here. They're all here, trust me. But like, I'm there with you. It's an argument I would have and be okay either way. Right. But for me, I could watch Guardians of the Galaxy all day, every day.
It's definitely up there. It's definitely up there for me, for sure.
Like, Jazz, I'll tell you, when Return of the King came out, I was in the IMAX here in Jersey and watched all three extended back to back.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of those people, too. I did that.
So, yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I just thought this was better.
I think is definitely the best in Marvel. Maybe even superhero movies in general. But outside of
trilogies with DC.
This is they barely made one superhero trilogy. This is not even a question.
DC, yeah. I mean, technically they did make whatchamacallit, the Batman ones. The Dark Knight ones. Though they're technically DC. But not DCU.
When he gave the argument there, he's right. Like, anybody could have played Batman there. Like, the more I think about it, I think I would place this above that trilogy now.
Like, think about it, right? When I go Christopher Nolan's Batman, what do you immediately think about? Heath Ledger. You think of the Joker.
You're right. I think about Joker, Heath Ledger. Exactly.
You think of one movie.
What? What? Yeah. You don't think of... I love all of them. I'm not going to lie. And I do agree that The Rises is the weakest one, but I love Batman Begins. Batman Begins is really good, and I love the way they... like
Christian Bale's voice.
First of all, in my opinion, Batman Begins started the revolution of like superhero movies because nobody was doing dark superhero movies. Okay, fine, Blade. But no one did it the way they did it, all right? With Christopher Nolan.
Blade started this shit. Everyone needs to knock it off. But they had a trilogy.
Blade was a rated R movie, and Blade was a dark story in general. This is with taking a campy character.
I was in like middle school or high school when I downloaded Blade on LimeWire and watched it, all right? Like,
that doesn't matter. I mean, you can't judge an R-rated movie with the PG-13 movie.
You had to get a new computer afterwards?
No, I didn't, because I knew not to download Blade.exe and to download Blade.mov.
Oh,
and also, this entire movie is 4 megabytes. It's not a movie.
All right. Well, listen, before we get a virus, let's wrap it up, all right?
I haven't had one since high school. Go ahead.
Adam, where can people find you? Let them know where they can find you.
MySpace.
Sega.
AOL message board. No. So you can find me on TikTok. Obviously, that's like my main thing. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I'm trying to get better at, but for the most part, like that. No, for
Facebook's
the most part,
hard,
and at cons.
There's nothing on Facebook other than grandparents and races.
Are those grandparents? They like giving money, I'm just saying.
Okay.
Oh, that's a good point.
So, you can find me there. You can find me at New York Comic Con with my boy Neebs.
Yes, man, we're always hanging out. Are you going to San Diego?
I'm trying. I've got some things that I need to do. I'm going to Awesome Con in June. I'm going to Dream Con. I'm going to another con. And then I'm trying to do a couple other ones. So... is the answer?
All right. Fair.
San Diego, I definitely want to do because I've never done it yet, and it's Mecca.
I'm going to be there. So
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Let me know, man. It should be a lot of fun. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, guys. Salam, nerds.